And what did we see in 1 Thessalonians 3? Turn back there for a moment. This is how we get established in holiness, and we are unblameable when the Lord comes. I want to be unblameable. I want to be without blame when Christ comes again. You've heard me say many times that when I stand before the Lord, I want the Lord to say about me, I have nothing against you, nothing to tell you, because everything in your life you set right. As soon as you heard my voice, you set it right. That's the meaning of without blame. It's like saying I got 100%. Is it possible to get 100% in mathematics? Yes. There are people who get 100% in even these public examinations. Is it possible to get 100% when you stand before the Lord? Yes. In 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 30, which says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That means if I judge myself every day, I'll get 100% at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't you want that? That's the only way to get 100% at the judgment seat of Christ. You judge yourself every day. And the Lord reproves you and disciplines you. Say, Lord, why was that? Why did you do that to me? And the Lord will show you why He disciplined you. The Lord will show you when you read Scripture and a word comes to you like a reproof. See, don't just take the words of encouragement in Scripture. Sometimes there's a word of reproof there. Don't say, oh, that's for somebody else. That's also for me. Take it and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? That's the way you'll grow. So then you'll be without blame in the final day. You'll get 100%. That's the meaning of without blame in holiness, verse 13, before God at the coming of the Lord. 100%. My dear brothers and sisters, aim for that. Aim for 100% at the judgment seat of Christ. That is my aim. I want to get to 100% at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't care, meanwhile, what people think. Whether people think I'm getting 30% or 40% is absolutely unimportant. When Christ comes, if He tells me, well done, good and faithful servant, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, that will be worth all the misunderstanding and rebuke that people gave. So live for that. And in order to get there, let's look at verse 12 again. Increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. That means begin with one another, then go to the outer circle of others as well. Increase and abound in love. And the part I wanted to show you is that first part. May the Lord cause you. In other words, this is where I want to conclude. I have to come to God and say, Lord, I can't manage this. It's too much. There are some people I just can't love. I said, Lord, if you can cause me to do it, I'll do it. Isn't that encouraging? May the Lord cause you to increase in love. It's not just increase in love. I say, Lord, I can't. Oh, the Lord caused you to increase. Oh, sure, Lord, if you want to do it in me, do it. And it's amazing if you come to the Lord like that and say, Lord, I find it difficult to increase in love for that person. There are wives who say, I find it difficult to love my husband, difficult to love my wife because they are so selfish and they don't care about me. I'll tell you, go to this verse. And Lord, you cause me to increase in love for my husband and increase in love for my wife. Maybe you find a very rebellious child and you feel like hitting him and turning him out of the house. May the Lord cause you to increase in love for your rebellious child, for your wayward son or daughter. Ask God to cause you. That means do a work in you where He makes you love supernaturally what you cannot do yourself. To me, that's the wonderful thing about the new covenant. In the old covenant, it would be abound in love. Just go ahead. Abound in love for one another and for all people. But in the new covenant, it is different. May the Lord cause you to abound in love. This is the fundamental difference between old covenant and new covenant. Old covenant is a commandment, and the new covenant is, I will write my law in your heart, in your mind. In other words, I will make you do it. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Very, very important verse. You'll never find this verse in the Old Testament. God is at work inside you. Whenever you read in the New Testament that God is at work inside you, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Outside God the Father works all things for our good. That's His work. Inside us, the Holy Spirit works to do what? First of all, to choose God's will. And second, to do God's will. Let me paraphrase that. To will and to work His good pleasure means God works in you through the Holy Spirit to choose His will and to do His will. Both. First of all, let me ask you, I'm sure many of you sitting here, you really have a desire to do the will of God. Isn't that right? I believe so. I really believe you want to obey the Scriptures. I really believe you want to do the will of God. Do you humbly acknowledge? Let me ask you, this is a difficult question. Do you humbly acknowledge that it is not you, but God who put that desire in you? You've got to be very arrogant and proud to think that you desire to do God's will. Absolute nonsense. Why is it people in your family don't have a passion to do God's will like you have? Why is it some of your relatives have no interest like you have to do the will of God completely? Don't be proud and think that you are so special that you had that desire. No! It's God who worked in you to choose His good pleasure, to will His will. If you don't humbly acknowledge that, you will not get grace for the next step. And maybe that is the reason why you never got grace to do His will, because you assume that you're the one who desired to do His will. Now, at least today, acknowledge that even that desire to do God's will was planted by God. I say, Lord, I can't take any credit for it. I can't take any credit over my family members or anybody else that I have a desire to do God's will. You put that desire in me. Acknowledge that every day of your life. And secondly, if God put that desire in you, he says in the same verse, He will give you the power to do it. He works in you to will and then to actually do it. So if He did the first part, how is He going to leave out the second part? Impossible. It's like two legs you stand on. God didn't make you born with one leg. He makes you desire His will and do His will. That is new covenant. In the old covenant, it was only, I desire to do your will. Let me show you that. Psalm 40. This is the Psalm of David, the man after God's own heart. You see what he said. Psalm 40 and verse 8. This is 1,000 years before Christ. A man could say, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Do you say that? Good. You've come as far as the old covenant. You've come as far as Psalm 40. You've come as far as 1000 BC. I delight to do your will. Why don't you actually do it? You say, oh, I want to do it, but I don't do it. Well, you're an old covenant Christian, that's all. You're living in 1000 years before Christ. That's here. I delight to do your will. Your law is within my heart. Lord, your commandments are in my heart. And I delight to do them. But David says, the only thing is I can't do them. When I see Bathsheba, I forget all about your commandments. Even though your law is in my heart, I just can't do it. That is old covenant Christianity. When I sit in front of my computer, I forget about how pure I'm supposed to keep myself. But in the new covenant, the same verse, exactly the same verse, is quoted in Hebrews in chapter 10. See how it's quoted here. Psalm 40, verse 8, is quoted here. Like this. Psalm 40 is quoted in Hebrews 10, verse 7, as, Behold, I have come, this is referring to Jesus, Behold, I have come, in the roll of the book it is written me, to do your will, O God, not to delight in your will, to do your will. And again it's repeated in verse 9, Behold, I have come to do your will. That Psalm 40 in Hebrews 10, you see the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. Old covenant was, I delight to do your will, your law is within my heart, but Lord, when I actually come to time of temptation, I don't do it. get out of that old covenant and say, Lord, work in me. May the Lord cause you to abound in love. Trust the Lord to do it. The Lord who gave you that desire, if you're humble enough to acknowledge that even the desire came from God, then God will give you grace to actually do it. Lord, I've come to do your will. Behold, I've come to do your will. It's repeated twice. And we are to walk as Jesus walked. Because it says there, verse 5, when he comes into the world, that is the beginning of the new covenant, he opened a new and living way where he not only delighted to do the will of God like David, but actually did it. When you delight to do the will of God, you're following David. When you actually do it, you're following Jesus. And I think most Christians in the world are really following David without even knowing it. And they think they're very spiritual when they follow David. They are ignorant. I don't despise them. They haven't heard about the new covenant, but we have heard. So I say, Hebrews 3:12 says, may the Lord cause you to abound in love towards him and towards one another, and increase and abound so that when he comes again, you'll get 100%.